Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Sure good to see everybody here with us today. Look forward to our time together this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Appreciate Brother Wren putting all this together for the men's involvement in the service tonight. And I know that you look forward to the opportunity to be together to participate in that. For those of you that are watching us online, those of you that are sick, that are not able to be with us, we pray that you'll get well very soon. Look forward to you coming back, because there's enough space that you can come back and occupy, because your space is missed. I don't know if you have ever had someone speak to you about moving. If they've mentioned it to you, there are people that when they decide to move, they believe that wherever they go, however far away it is, or next state, next city, whatever, they believe that when they move there, things are going to be different. They just believe that. There are some people, when it comes down to getting money or maybe getting another job, they talk about how it is, if I just got more money or a better job, then things would be different. Things would be different. And there are some people, they even talk about their attitudes and their actions, and they'll talk about, if I could just control my anger, my life would be so much better. If I could just do that, it would be so much different. Those people that talk about moving, and they talk about getting more money or getting another job, or they talk about things that they could do better, attitudes and actions, just indicate one very simple thing. There's something about their life that is empty that needs to be filled. Maybe moving will do it. Maybe if I got more money and another job, that would do it. Maybe if I just turned out to be a little bit better than what I am, my attitudes would be, things would be better. But then there are some people that when they talk about this idea of being empty, they just talk about how it is that they've just given everything they could. If they're on the football field, if they're on the basketball court, wherever it is, they're in this middle of this big event, I just gave everything I could. And I just feel spent. I just feel I've given it all. And there are people that talk about how it is that in their life, they just feel like they're running on empty. They've just gone and gone and gone and pushed and pushed and pushed. And they just feel like, in their words, they say, I'm just running on empty. I'm just barely making it. So there's a point by which all of us probably have felt like we just spent. We're empty. We just need something to fill us back up. We need to get some energy. We need some zeal. We need some enthusiasm. We need something to get us going. We just need some fuel. I want you to think about something that goes on here in the book of John chapter 4 that we're going to use as the text of our lesson this morning. John 4. What is the source of our emptiness? You will notice in this text, and it kind of summarizes the information I'm going to give to you, kind of puts the beginning to the lesson, the end of the lesson. That is, this woman comes to the well with an empty pot. The pot that she probably used, probably maybe a little bit heavier than what I could have used as a demonstration, an illustration for you this morning, but I would have brought it empty. And just to let you know how empty that pot would have been that she brought to get the water from the well. But the most interesting thing is, she comes to the well with an empty pot, and she leaves the pot that's empty at the well. And we'll talk about that in verse 28. But how would you describe your emptiness? The first thing is, would we ever admit that we are empty? Now, we use these phrases, that as I just mentioned a while ago, to kind of describe that we're just spent, we're empty, we just feel lifeless, we don't know how much further we can go. But would we really admit that we're empty? Would it be that really you're lonely? And that's how you describe it. Do you feel that you're isolated? And that's how you describe your emptiness. Is it withdrawn? Do you feel in poverty? Mentally, maybe physically. How do you describe your emptiness? How would you describe that? Monetarily, Economically? Emotionally? Physically? How would you describe that? I want you to notice what's going on here. This woman, the first thing that you will notice about what's happening is she was physically trying to come to a well to receive a source by which was previously filled her up. It was empty. Now she's got to come back and replenish what she emptied from the pot. Physically, she comes back to a place where it seemed like there's limitless amounts of water that will sustain her physically, give her everything that she needs. But the most interesting thing, it didn't last very long. Once that pot was empty, she had to come back, get some more for her animals, for herself. And Jesus comes to the very same place. But in this moment, I think there's something that describes for us how we sometimes need to see it. We need to touch it. We need to experience the event. We've got to go through this. If we can smell it, see it, touch it, taste it, then to us, it becomes a fulfillment. Oh, I just need something to eat. If I could just get this particular drink, if I could just go to this particular place, if I just had this, then everything would be just filled to the brim and I'd be satisfied. How long would it last? That's something that this woman experiences. But it goes further than that. In the same text that was read just a minute ago, her relationships that she also experienced. I'm not going to say that these five guys that she were married to were bad men. We don't have any idea who these guys were. We don't know what kind of experiences she had with them. But the interesting thing is, she experienced some emotional attachment in a relationship that she thought might be filling. That was her fulfillment. That was her living water, according to the text in verse 16 to verse 18 that you might want to look at, where the statement is made. Jesus says, go call your husband. The woman answered, I have no husband. Jesus said, thou hast said, well, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not the husband. This hast thou said truly. You had your relationships. How they filled you. There's a moment of which we think that whenever we get married, everything's going to be great. I've got my man. I've got my woman. Then, what happens? We need a child. And as a result, when we get this child, then that's going to fill me up. That's going to be what will bring me a fulfillment and a satisfaction if we have the baby. Or two, or three, or four. But for this woman, she has five. And in emotional attachment and relationships that she's had, if the first one would have done it, why go to the next one, and to the next one, and to the next one? There's been something that just describes a very interesting emptiness of which she experiences. There are a lot of people who talk about, I just need some friends. We need a grandchild. I need a boyfriend. I need a girlfriend. I need to have an approval of people. I need acceptance. I need to have myself busy in activities with people. I need to find myself in a status where people admire me and appreciate me. And those people are going to fill me up when they said, we appreciate what you do. We admire what you do. We're so glad you're working with us. We're so glad you're part of our family. All those things, if we have all those things relationally, emotionally, we will find ourselves filled up. Know what that does to the other person? That places demands upon them to fill an emptiness in you that really stretches their ability in some cases. We as humans are limited on what we can do to fill up anybody's emptiness. Therefore, the relationships, the emotional attachments are not going to successfully fill up what's empty. But it goes beyond that. In this text, you will also find a situation where there's this religious source of which she tries to fill up this emptiness. There's a statement that is made. The woman says in verse 19, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Jesus said, woman, believe me. Excuse me, verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. One of the most interesting things about this in verse 20, she uses the tradition. She uses our fathers worshipped in this mountain. There's a case in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 33 when Jacob had this particular land that he purchased, had this well. Joshua even established an altar in this same area in the book of Joshua chapter 8. Seemingly this was going to be the place where they would hold to some religious connection. And she turns to Jesus and said, well, you say in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. How many times has it been that you pointed people to this building and said, you need to come to worship with us here? As if to say that emptiness of which they're lacking spiritually is going to be all fulfilled whenever they go through the singing, the Lord's Supper, the praying, and the giving, and the teaching. And it may be that you're giving them that information because that's what you've experienced, as if to say this is your one and only time to be filled up for the rest of the week. Just get it as full as you can because we're going to come back and do it again on Sunday. There's a time by which worship services are just used just to fill us up for what we're going to deal with for the rest of the week. And that's our filling moment. Just as long as we go through the rituals, as long as we go through everything that needs to be done, then we're going to be filled up. These religious experiences will be the essential part of filling up the empty heart. Is that true? Our fathers did this. Would it be good for us? We all ought to hold on to this. So it brings me to this question. The source of filling, being filled, what is it? If you took the things that this woman may have used to fill herself up, physically water, and mostly with relationships, and then even with her religious experience, I want you to listen to a statement that is made in the Old Testament in Jeremiah chapter 2. And listen to this. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, this is what God says about his people. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. One thing that I want us to understand very clearly, that sometimes when it comes down to something physical and something relational or emotional, as well as something spiritual or religious, those sometimes tend to be idols that are no more than broken cisterns, as Jeremiah talks about. The reason for being empty is forsaking God, building your own cistern to think that this is going to hold your water. It's going to fill you up. But the psalmist in the book of Psalm chapter 63 said it this way. In chapter 63 verse 1, O God, you are my God. But then he said, earnestly, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I'm thirsting for you. I'm coming to have my soul filled because you're the only one that can do this. In John chapter 4, the water's in the well. Two people come in this moment. Jesus comes to the water as well as the woman comes to the water, something physically that they believe is going to satisfy them temporarily. But I want you to notice this. When it comes down to what Jesus is letting this woman know, what Jesus feels does not need a water pot. You can't just put it in a jar. You can't put it in a clay pot. Verse 10, Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman says, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Whence then hast thou that living water? Jesus characterizes what he has to provide this woman, which is opposite of what she thinks she's going to need just in this physical water. Jesus is going to fill her. And Jesus is going to fill her up. And Jesus is going to fill her up with living water. And Jesus is going to fill her up with living water to eternal life. That's what Jesus is going to do. And you don't need a water pot to do this. It won't fit in the water pot. It's not for the water pot. It's for the heart of the individual. And the reservation, or the reserve, maybe I should say, is abundant. It's limitless. The supply is always going to be there. The water of life. It's always going to be right there. The only thing about this is this point right here. The source of it is where the woman was the only one who could prevent the emptiness from being filled. She's the only one. Her five husbands couldn't do it. There's no indication that they say you don't need that. No friends around her. No family members around her says you don't need this. This is not going to do you any good. There's no value to this. She's the only one that could prevent the emptiness from being filled. And let's just understand something very clearly. That same thing is for me as well it is for you. We're the only ones that hold this up. We're the only ones that keep the living water from filling us up. It's very similar to what happened in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. When Paul was addressing the brethren there in verse 1 to verse 3, he's talking about feeding them spiritual things. And the reason he couldn't do it, that he could only fill them with carnal things, is because that's their mindset. So if I'm offering you money, if I'm offering you a job, I'm offering you moving somewhere, if I'm offering you all these physical things, I'm offering you this boyfriend, this girlfriend, I'm offering you this woman, this man to be your next spouse, then for you, it may be you're just thinking, oh, this is going to fill me up. I'm going to be so happy. We're just going to be so wonderful. This is going to be my satisfaction of life. Is that really going to work? Is that really going to work? Where Jesus says, let me just give you the living water. Let me just fill up your life. And as I stated earlier, this woman leaves her empty pot, but leaves filled. Notice this. In John chapter 4, verse 25. The woman said, I know that Messiah has come, he that is called Christ. When he has come, he will declare unto us all things. Jesus says, I that speak to you am he. Then, verse 28. So the woman left her water pot and went away into the city and said to the people, come see a man who told me all things whatever I did. Can this be the Christ? Sure he can. Sure he can. Verse 39. And from the city, many of the Samaritans believed on him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all things whatever I did. One of the most interesting things about that statement of which she's playing back as she discusses these things with the people in the city, she has come to the realization that only Jesus fills up the emptiness truly in our life that we need filling. In order to have that done, he pulls out all the things that are in our heart so that we can be empty. I think it's very interesting that in this case, when you look at Psalm chapter 63, going back to that case in verse 1 where he talked about, oh God, I'm looking for you, I'm seeking for you. There's a statement that is made in verse 3 that I want you to key in on here. My lips shall praise thee, so I will bless thee while I live. This woman did exactly that. The source of being filled comes from a jealous God who is the only one that can fill up the emptiness. No one's qualified to do this. No one is adequately sufficient in all that they do to take away what's in our life and replace it with something that needs to be filled. Matthew chapter 12. You want to go back, go over there and read that from verse 44 to verse 46 when they talked about the illustration of the demons being thrown out, that something needs to be done to replace it. We talk about how we wish God would take this sin away, this sin away, this sin away, and definitely he can do it, but what's going to be replaced? What's going to come in the place of that? What's going to fill up the void? Would God allow emptiness in our lives so that we would thirst for him? And looking at this case with this woman almost makes me think he's allowing this woman to see all these things that she's experiencing, to know the emptiness there that only he has the ability to fill. Full. The psalmist, chapter 81, verse 10. I, Jehovah thy God, who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Verse 16, the same chapter. He will feed them with the finest of wheat. With honey from the rock, I will satisfy you. Psalm 107, verse 9. He satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. I think about the case with Israel. Why not just take the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt and just place them over in Canaan? Why go through the wandering in the wilderness? Why do all that? The book of Deuteronomy says it so clearly in chapter 8, verse 3 and verse 4. I brought you out, put you here in the wilderness so that you would long to humble yourself and obey my voice and follow me. And let me fill you up. Yes, manna, water, continually given to them. But the true filling is what God would do for them continually. Continually. What a wonderful thing that illustrates for us. Valuable. Absolutely valuable. We were talking in our class this morning about the prayer in the book of Acts chapter 4. It's amazing how our prayer class is coming involved in some of the lessons that I'm teaching here. One of the most interesting things about Peter and John, when they're standing there before the people, the book of John chapter, the book of Acts chapter 4, they're viewed by the world as unlearned men. In other words, they need to know, they need to fill themselves up with all the knowledge of what's going on in life. They need to know what's going on with the government. They need to know the things that's happening in the world. If they just fill themselves up with all that, then they would know. This is not the way they conduct themselves. But it's the statement that is made of what they truly are in the same verse is that they were known to have been with Jesus. They didn't know the knowledge of the world. They knew everything about Jesus Christ. And that's what's so significant. That they had been with him. Wow. What a wonderful opportunity. So therefore, here's the question. Are you empty? Again, it's one of those cases where it's a matter of self-examination and we don't really like to say we're lacking anything. It's kind of like the man, the rich man that comes to Jesus after they talked about the Ten Commandments, and he says, well, what lack I yet? I think I've been filled. I think I've got it all down. But what lack I yet? Therefore, the question comes to us in a humble way, have you emptied yourself of everything? In other words, have you become less so that Jesus would become greater, like John the Baptist was talking about in the book of John chapter 3 and verse 30. In another way, Paul said it in Galatians chapter 2, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Have you looked at it from that standpoint? Crucifixion is sacrifice, giving everything about you, then replacing it with a life that can be lived in Jesus. But then here's another question. What happens if you meet somebody like this woman at the well? Family member? Could be at work, could be a friend, could be a neighbor, somebody, just a total stranger. And then they begin to talk to you about, maybe like she did, well, we go to church over here, or I've been married 3 times, or there's some bad things going on in my family. And they'll talk about all these many difficult challenges that they're experiencing, and they just feel like, I'm running on empty. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. What would you suggest? Okay, what would you suggest? Well, have you ever thought about moving? You ever thought about making more money? You ever thought about getting another job? Hey, have you ever thought about divorcing this man to get another man? What would you tell them? What would your advice be to give them an understanding of what they should do to fill the emptiness? Because they're lonely and they're in need of help. They think things are going to be okay, but it's not. It's just like everything's going to be all right. But it's not. Maybe the answer to this question is, going back to the first one, is there something in your life that's really empty and you're not filled, so as a result, you can't give them anything that you got? You're empty. You're wondering what to do to fill up your life. And if I don't have it, and I'm not filled, then how can I give it to somebody else? Good question. Good question. A couple of weeks ago, we were at a family funeral. One of the most saddest instances I believe I've experienced, where the county sheriff deputies brought in a young lady, and she was our relative, and she had chains on her legs, shackles, we'd call it. Didn't have her arms chained, but just had her ankles chained. It was her dad that had died. And the sheriff deputies brought her in, and they let her view her dad for the last time. Through the process and the help of other family members, she was able to gain access to the funeral home just as a limited period of time without a lot of people around to see her dad. We knew her. Diane and I knew her very well from the past. We went up to see her at the casket. The sheriff deputy said, "You can see her, talk to her, but you can't touch her." We talked to her. And after our conversation was over, the last thing she said was, "Someday I'll be better." The young lady was empty. She was absolutely empty. A few years ago, there was a women's study weekend that started on Friday and ended on Saturday afternoon. Totally different situation. The night before, there was a lady that spoke in a class about this woman at the well in John chapter 4. The very next day, one of the ladies that attended the class, she had written a song. It took her more than half the night to write a song. And in the song that I want to read to you that you'll see on the screen here, it tells about a message of what's empty, what empty is like. "For most of my life, I felt like a woman, a one of ill repute, for the things I've done and what was done to me. I felt I was of no use. Like the woman at the well who spoke to Jesus alone, looking for a drink, who looked for love in all the wrong places, fragile, needy, and weak. But now I know Jesus. To the world, I will proclaim these words of invitation. I will forever lift up his name, and I will sing. Come, see a man who knows all about me, who knows what I've done and the love that I need. Come, see a man who won't leave or forsake me, who died on a cross to set me free. Come, see a man who gives life eternal, who's the breath of life, living water for your thirst. Come, see a man who gives new beginnings, who gives second chances, who gives new birth. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus." That song that she wrote is the story about her emptiness. Of one and one only who could bring about the fullness. This woman had grown up as a woman of ill repute. She had been in an addictive home. Alcohol addiction, physical sexual abuse. She made some poor relational decisions, physical decisions. Her life was empty. What she was needing to fill the emptiness was the love of God. She's looking for love in all the wrong places. It was in this Jesus, whom she wrote about in that song, was the only one she knew who could fill up the emptiness unconditionally, limitless. I mean, bring about fullness that as your cup overflows. Restoration and renewal that no one else could bring. I guess the question is, when it comes right down to it, am I really the one? If I would just empty myself, then Jesus could fill me. Because I am the only one who will prevent this emptiness from being filled. Let us bow in prayer. God, we ask that you today will help us learn from this event of which Jesus brought fullness to this woman, bringing an empty pot, but truly bringing an empty heart. And that through what he provided her, the fullness of life, the eternal words of life, she could not only believe in them and follow them, she could take that same fullness and teach others with it. We pray that you'll help us to see the true empty places in our heart and allow you to fill us up where we need filling. For those whose heart is empty today, who need to turn to you, that you will provide them this opportunity to turn with an empty heart to allow you to fill them. If they would just hunger and thirst after righteousness, let them know of the promise that you will fill them. Whatever the circumstances may be in them, we pray that you will be the one that will fill them up. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Let us all stand and sing.